Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right, 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on Fan, and of course worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. So much going on after the weekend. Of course, the New York Yankees split with the Red Sox. Again, the Red Sox don't seem to be their problem. It's just about everybody else for the last month. The New York Mets can't close out another series, blah, blah, blah. They play St. Louis tonight with Zach Wheeler. But the New York Yankees have Brian Mitchell on the mound against Alberto Mejia from Minnesota. That'll be later tonight. In any event, that's the baseball. Basketball, shockingly, is very relevant these days, as is football. I'll explain in a minute. First, good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, you know, and too bad for the Yankees last night. You know, it would have been great for them to get a sweep.
He pitched well, though, I'll say that.
Tanaka pitched great, but so did Price. And Price has been, obviously, public enemy number one up there in Boston. So he came through in a big spot.
How about Sabathia filling in, like, a couple hours' notice? And pitching his ass off.
If that were a Met pitcher, he would get blown out after like two innings. And that's right. You know, and that's the troubling part of what's going on with Steven Matz now. Like, you wake up this morning and after that performance yesterday, where they needed a they had a sweep. Let's face it, they had a sweep. They had to come out of the, you know, out of the break. Some, you know, maybe they could still do it. I don't know. But you know, my hopes are not very high for them to get themselves back in relevancy, and they will be in seller's mode, even regardless of what Sandy Alderson said about, you know, a rebuild, not a retool at all.
Without, I'm paraphrasing it. His point was, it's not going to be a total yard sale.
Right, exactly.
We're not going to get rid of everyone we got, but we will obviously sell off something.
Right, depending on how they play coming out of the break. And if Matz just could have given them, you know, what he gave like 3 weeks ago, they would have been fine. But for him to get drilled like that last night or yesterday was really the disappointing part of that. And every time he has a game like this, I always wonder about the next day. His elbow's bothering him.
Something.
Or he's got to go on the DL for 2 weeks, so we'll see what happens there.
I think he gave
up
more hits in one inning of work than anyone else in the history of baseball. I think it was like nine hits in one inning.
It was ridiculous, man. It was no joke.
I think that I'm not even making it up. I think that's a record.
It's like the conga line. The guys, they couldn't wait. It was actually refreshing to see the Mets on Friday night do the same thing to the Rockies. But, it's disappointing for both teams because the Yankees gain no ground. They're in the same spot they were, you know, coming out of the All-Star break. And the Mets have a chance to have a sweep with one of their better pitchers on the mound, and he can't get through two innings.
And you don't even have a chance to win it, right? That game's over. And, the winning series ain't enough right now. You have a chance to sweep a team, and you don't, like you said, you're not even competitive. Then you have the Cespedes, has another injury, comes out Saturday, doesn't play last night. They say he'll play tonight. He's just become, that's a joke at this point. I don't even know you can blame anyone because it's an injury.
Right.
But the fact that he has gone from, you know, the thigh, the calf, the hamstring, the groin, is a walking mass unit below the waist, and none of it's good. That being said, listen, if you love Met baseball, you still got a nice stadium, and at least they showed some life offensively, so I'll give them that. The Yankees, meanwhile...
You know, Cespedes is lucky he didn't break his knee.
Because his knee dug into the ground pretty good.
The rain and everything the softness in the outfield, I mean, he is lucky that he did not snap a leg or knee a thigh bone or something like that trying to make that play.
I'll say this about the Yankees, though. And like you said, you don't gain any ground. You split the series, and you split yesterday's day-night doubleheader. They're four games over 500, blah, blah, blah. I keep saying every time people bring up, you're playing the Red Sox, that'll be the barometer. The Red Sox, to be fair, do not seem to be the Yankees' problem. I mean, they had the lead in the ninth inning, the first game of the series, and Chapman kind of throws it out.
Well, you know, like last night was yesterday was the day for Steven Matz, right? And Steven Matz, unfortunately, did not perform.
Right.
And therefore, the Mets, you know, lose the chance at a sweep, which is hard as it is. The Yankees could have taken 3 out of 4.
Absolutely right.
If Friday night's performance by Chapman was the Chapman-esque performance that you expect.
Yeah, I mean, Chapman has not pitched well, and it cost them a game because I don't care how they got to there. It wasn't pretty, but you have the lead in the ninth inning.
Right.
Right, that's your game to win. You got Chapman on the mound, and obviously there's something wrong with him. I don't know
Although Joe Girardi did go to great lengths last night to highlight the bullpen. And how well they pitched, with obviously the exception of Chapman on Friday night,
right,
throughout this series, and how well their starting pitchers pitched. Now, of course, Pineda's done.
He'll have Tommy John after another consultation.
God, it's unbelievable.
And then people are all over Joe Girardi from the standpoint of the intentional walk. Look, you got Chapman on the mound. Get off Girardi's back. You have the lead and your closer on the mound. That you lose that game, and it ain't got nothing to do with Joe Girardi. It's got everything to do with Chapman just not pitching well. That being said, you got 2 weeks to go now, and while we know the Mets are sellers, the Yankees are going to buy. Now, I do not imagine them doing, I think, very similar to the Mets, who are not going to just yard sale the whole damn team. I'd be surprised if the Yankees make an aggressive move to try to win this year.
Well, here's a question.
I mean, I don't think they're going to start dumping a lot of prospects. I don't.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think they'll go the route of the Cubs getting Quintana the way they did, and they aggressively went out and got him right after the All-Star game. But, you know, you see what the Nationals did. The Nationals got two relievers from the A's. They recognize that they have problems at the in their bullpen, so they're trying to address those things. And the Yankees, I got to believe, even though their starting pitching wasn't all that bad, you know, actually pretty good, if you ask me, still need a starting pitcher of some ilk.
Right, and if you consider that, they score the amount of runs they score, where they've got nothing out of first base, nothing out of third base, and they can still score runs. I'm with you. I mean, I'd want a starting pitcher. I got to figure my bullpen will be fine. You know, Betances and Chapman will be really good for a couple months without problem. And when it's all said and done, you know, the Yankees are going to have to go out to get a starting pitcher. And if you told me if it wasn't Lucas Duda or he didn't play for the Mets, could I see them trying to get a lefty stick at first base? Yeah, but where are they at? You know, who's giving you one of those guys, right?
No, the other thing that really was like kind of interesting, and why anybody would ask Sandy Alderson this question: are you going to trade Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
I would want to reach across and go MMA on the guy who asked that question.
Give him a little chokehold. There is a Mets story I have to ask you about.
Yeah, okay.
And it's bothersome to me. And while the Mets are really irrelevant right now, there's a story involving the Mets that I think warrants conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is this. You've got this young phenom shortstop, Rosario, who they're debating when to bring up. Do you bring him up, right?
They'll bring him up when they trade either as Drubal Cabrera or Jose Reyes.
According to what came out this weekend. I'm just telling you what came out.
Met fake news.
Here's the deal. They are claiming.
Who's they, by the way?
Peoples that cover the Mets. This Peoples.
All right.
The claim is that the reason the Mets will not bring Rosario up here is that there's such bad blood and tension in the Met dugout and clubhouse with this Asdrubal Cabrera because of the move to second base and all that stuff, that they don't want to negatively taint Rosario by meaning that if he comes up here, he's coming up here to do what? To play shortstop,
right? That means somebody's got to sit.
That means not only does someone have to sit, it means Cabrera will never play shortstop again. And they don't want a toxic clubhouse. So I was thinking to myself this, because I was a bit thinking about whether or not maybe I've misjudged Sandy Alderson and I should go more with your line of thinking. And let me tell you something right now. If they can't control their own clubhouse and dugout, and they're afraid to bring Rosario up because of the interpersonal relationships that might develop that'll be negative, that means Sandy Alderson's given up.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, if Rosario's the answer, and by all accounts, he's one of the top, if not the top, your prospect in the minor leagues right now, right?
Right.
And he obviously can fill a need for you, maybe put some more fans in the seats, and you've gone past that June date where it negatively impacts his contractual status for the team.
Yep.
And you're not bringing him up because you can't control as Drupal Cabrera, then you've either lost control of your franchise or you've given up.
Yeah, but the point being,
so if you told me Sandy Olsen was stepping down after this year, I would not be surprised.
No.
I think he's given up.
No. The point being is that, you know, you can't bring a guy up here when you have these veterans who want to play every single day until you move one of those veterans. So if they move one of those veterans, whether it be Cabrera or Jose Reyes, then they'll bring Rosario up, and then he'll have a job at shortstop, and he'll be the everyday shortstop for the rest of the season. Now, Rosario could do for the Mets, and I'm not saying that he will do it the way that this happened last year, what Sanchez did for the Yankees.
It's on the table,
at least. You bring a guy up and bring, and I know Sandy's like, hey, you know, not one guy's not going to change the whole thing around here, and he's right, it's not. But Met fans want to see a young player, and this young player is tweeting at the Mets for
begging
a chance.
Begging them to come up on bended knee. Give me a chance, Billy!
Right,
and then,
exactly.
Of course, he gets deleted, as a lot of things are being deleted these days off Twitter. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, so this guy, my main man, Sports Funhouse, he had his Twitter account shut down.
He did.
I got to ask Mark about that. Tell Mark I need to talk to him during the break.
What happened?
I don't know what happened, but he's been suspended.
Who suspended him?
Twitter suspended him.
Why?
I think because when you I don't know, he didn't have ownership of the audio he was posting or something.
Okay.
But isn't that what all Twitter is? Right? I don't know what the fair use doctrine is. I know it got referenced, but the guy that was the daily historian of all things mistake prone Mike, which I, you know, religiously checked out every day, many times a day.
I'm sure you did.
I feel somewhere naked now.
I'm sure
his account has been suspended. Suspended the sentence. Don Corleone suspended the sentence. So we'll find out about that. And while I normally would go right to a commercial break here and give you the phone numbers to the show and get things started and get an update from Jerry, there's a rare moment in time when a call comes in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the show where I just feel you have to take that call right away.
Oh, geez.
So here is Shirley on the fan. Shirley, good morning. How you doing, doll?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
How old are you, Shirley?
I am 71.
My word. 71, up early in the morning. And what
sweetie,
can we do
I have
for you
to
today?
Get up, watch my boomer.
You get up early to watch Boomer?
Yeah.
Oh,
what is
you.
It about Boomer that you like?
I don't know. It's just something about him that draws in the women.
Mm, especially women in their 70s, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I've been watching football forever.
Uh-huh. Now, do you live in Maryland?
I live in Maryland. Yes, I do.
So you're obviously a fan of the Maryland Terps, I imagine.
No.
You're not?
Nope.
Huh. So did you have a thing for Boomer when he played in Maryland or only now later in life?
When he became a pro...
Uh-huh.
He was playing with the Jets.
Right.
Oh, my God. He was adorable.
Adorable. And has he aged well?
Yes, he has. I'm surprised.
Why is that?
I don't know. It must be good living and a good woman.
No, there you go.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could have one night alone with Boomer, and it was up to you, and you were going to home cook a special meal and then wear something special for him, and play special music during the one night. Can you walk me through how that night would go?
Oh, we got to have a meal.
You don't have to.
Well, I got to eat. I don't know about the rest of you.
We would sit, honey, and talk about football.
There you go.
That sounds like the perfect date. A 71-year-old woman not eating, just talking about football with the man in her life, right?
And I tell you, after I saw him on a rerun of Family Feud last week, he is just a sweet, precious, adorable human being.
This is what I'm talking
that
about.
That is
this
awesome.
Is why you do this show, right?
This is why you lift all them weights. I'm completely embarrassed right now. Thank you, Shirley. I appreciate it.
Shirley,
very nicely.
Shirley, have a great day.
Listen to me. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
And Boomer's going to send you an autographed picture personalized just to you.
Shirley, you got me sweating right now.
All right.
That's great.
Hold on one sec. See, sometimes you just got to take a call.
Yeah, I guess
right?
you do,
You are sweating now from that. All right.
Eddie, stop it. Show some respect, will you please?
Listen, you got to know your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
71.
Yeah, 71 right in the wheelhouse.
And tons of fun.
Tons of fun.
Meanwhile, a couple things before we do take the first break. Let me just first say thank you to the Port Authority Police Department and the Staten Island Yankees. We played a charity softball game there yesterday. And a gorgeous setting, great field, and great accommodations. So I want to thank everyone for being a part of that. We lost 9-5. We'll get to that, of course, later this morning. But I do want to thank the Staten Island Yankees for opening up their stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. And I want to thank the Port Authority Police Department for inviting us to play there. That's number one. And number two, unfortunately, we lost a broadcast legend yesterday, and that is Bob Wolf. Bob was in studio with us. I thought it was a year ago. It was actually back in 2014.
Wow.
When he was 93 years old. And Bob Wolf always will have a special place in my heart because he was my first ever mentor. And when I was in high school, I took a broadcasting class solely because it was Bob Wolf that was teaching at a Pace in Westchester. And Bob Wolf, for those of you that are under 30, you probably never heard his name. But Bob Wolf called every major sporting event in this country, let alone here in New York, as the voice of the Knicks. He was the voice of the Rangers for a long time. He was the voice of the Westminster Dog Show at Madison Square Garden. Did not work at the Garden for almost 30 years now.
Colts-Giants championship game, Don Larson's perfect game in the World Series.
He called every major championship in every sport,
The resume is long and lengthy, and he was actually broadcasting up until 6 months ago.
Yeah, he was at Long Island News 12. So I just wanted to acknowledge Bob's passing. We'll play some of his audio a little bit later on this morning, because there's a great lesson having met Bob Wolf. And here's a guy that truly had done it all, was at the pinnacle of the careers that we've chosen, and still had great humility and a sense of a selflessness where he never wanted to be the story. We live in a world now where we want to be the story, and we are the story sometimes, as opposed to the people that we're supposed to be talking about and their on-field exploits. So I just want to acknowledge it's a sad loss. He was 96 years young, but thoughts and prayers go out to Rick, his son, and the rest of the Wolf family as we lose Bob Wolf last night.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
I mean, they're making a big deal. Like this was the catch of the year. I'm like, I didn't think it was that. Did you guys think it was that?
I did not.
I thought it was a good catch. It wasn't Marcelo Ozuna, if you didn't see it. Check out his catch yesterday. That was a great catch.
Right, okay. I would say based on the fact that it's Judge, it gets Yankees within a run.
But here's the headline. You know what I mean? Inside the remarkable catch that saved David Price's night.
Well,
I mean, is that?
By the way, they still were winning the game if the ball goes over the fence.
It's 3-2 if the it's a home run.
I just don't think that it was all that remarkable. I thought it was good. I expect a major league center fielder who is as good as Jackie Bradley and as athletic as Jackie Bradley to go make that play.
Listen, I'm with you on that. I think it's being said that because of the moment and who it was. It's Aaron Judge, who, by the way, is in a 1-for-20 slump, whatever
it
was.
Oh, really?
Nothing to do with the home run derby.
If Bartolo Colon whiffs him three times Tuesday night, then you might be rethinking that.
And how about Bartolo Colon, who, when asked why he did not come back to the Mets, who obviously made him an offer to come back, he said, well, here's very simple. Not a single player on the team reached out to me saying, hey, why don't you come on back? And I figured if they wanted me back, at least one player would have said, hey, Biggs, come on back. But since I didn't hear from a single player on the team, I figured I wasn't really wanted. It's unbelievable, right?
Right.
Here's Brian in Maspeth Beach and Jerry's update. Brian, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, I just had a quick question. The other day I was listening. You guys were on vacation.
Yeah.
And Francesa was on their program. You know, your guy's show. Was he using that for publicity, or was he just on,
Yeah, I guess they were all patting themselves on the back about the 30 for 30, and it was a let's kiss Mike and Chris's ass day here on The Fan. So if you're going to call and try to get an audience just based on ratings, you might as well call the morning show.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, maybe he's a little upset he's not number one anymore.
I would think he is, but who knows? I'm not sure how that goes. Maybe, if you're just cruising on your last 4 months out the door, maybe you don't give a damn. Well, how do I know? We weren't a part of it. I obviously heard about it. Everyone's, texting me and Boomer and tweeting us. Hey, what do you think about them going on your morning? what am I supposed to think about it? Huh?
I mean, Moose worked for them,
He was their producer for a while.
Yeah.
Kim, when she covered the Yankees, was on their show a lot, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, I think they did the smart thing in having him on. Of course, Mark stepped in. He told me this morning, he goes, I told him they had to take a commercial break or something.
I am the tiny tot of
there
the kilowatt.
Oh, there he is. There's your man. There's
although,
your guy.
Someone sent me video of Mark coming into the studio.
He actually came in the studio.
He looks so happy.
I mean, like, it was like he was so happy. And I the audio that was sent to me was he calls him doggy. Like, Mark was like...
Oh, my
like,
God. Really?
Well, I think he always called him that.
Whatever.
I do.
Mark was like 20 years younger, full of life and vibrant, and he was so happy. Mike and Chris are back together on my station. Oh.
Much hubbadoo and much, to there me, made go. About nothing.
So, yes. I probably heard about 5 minutes of it because it was sent to me, and I became aware of it, and I'm clearly aware of it now. But yeah, Mark was giddy.
Yeah.
So happy. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. No, I don't think he's going to be lovey-dory.
Lovey-dory, yes, he is.
It is funny how people that work here at the Fan reacted to the 30 for 30.
How?
I'm fascinated by that. You know, I forget a lot of times that from a radio... job standpoint, that there's a good majority of people that work here that have never worked anywhere else. Like, WFN has been their only place of employment in radio, whether they started off as interns here and got jobs and stayed here, or they just, you know, came here as their first job, which in most radio stations is not the norm. So I often forget that. Like, they've no other life experience radio-wise to compare it to other than the Fan.
Yeah, and... Well, I was just to say, the thing about it is that 30 at 30, I know it's about Mike and Chris, but it's really about the radio station.
Yeah,
a lot of it is about the genesis of the radio station, where it came from, what it's all about.
I didn't see it yet. I have it on DVR, but I've not seen it yet.
A lot of it was about their fights, so honestly.
Who was the guy before Chernoff, Mason?
Yeah.
So what I got out of this whole thing was that Mason, when he decided to put Mike and Chris together, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess Mike wanted the job all by himself.
Yeah, they both did.
And Mason said, well, look, if you show up Monday, then you'll be working here with Chris. If you don't, then you're not going to be here.
Right. So.
I thought that they did like what we did. Like, you know, okay, here are two guys, put them together and let's go.
And neither guy complained about it.
Right.
Yeah, they never wanted to be together, apparently. But, who knows?
I mean.
I thought the reaction.
What are you fighting over? What were they fighting over? Like the Giants and the Mets and the Yankees and home runs and who throws a slider? I mean, really, honestly, grown men fighting over that stuff.
Could be a random June Met Philly game that would,
But it was kind of interesting. I mean, and you know, and I always think that personality is what drives these radio shows, no matter who you listen to, what's going on. And I do believe in my heart that our radio show flows because of your personality, that it flows right through you, and it's fine. It's great. You're the Energizer Bunny and all that other stuff, and you're great at what you do, and you create firestorms and controversies. And the number one question I always get, how do you work with that moron, and how do you work with this idiot, and how do you work with that jackass? And I'm like, well, he's my jackass, moron, and idiot, and I can work with him anytime, anywhere, anyhow, because he's really good at what he does, becoming a jackass, moron, and an idiot. But when I think about Mike and Chris and all those years that, you know, when I played here, then of course was a part of their program and everything else, what drove that was the reaction from Mike to Chris, because Chris was a lunatic.
No, their interpersonal stuff was what it was. Yeah. I'm just amazed by the reaction of the people that work here. It fascinates me. And listen, I listen to them all the time, too. They were a great show, no doubt about it. One of the great best shows, team shows, in the history of radio. I've been jaded by it now because I don't like Mike, and he doesn't like me, and that's all well and good. But the reaction of people here is like, I never seen anything like that before in my life.
What's the reaction?
Oh, I mean, you'd think they walked on water for people here, when the reality is that they couldn't have been worse to people that in the building.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
No, not about Chris. Absolutely.
Maybe
not.
Chris,
I don't know about Mike,
for
but
sure.
Chris was about as friendly a guy as there was.
Yeah. Until you turned your back. That was the problem with Chris. The one thing I always liked about Mike is that he was an a-hole to your face and behind your back.
Mike was always very quiet.
And Chris was like, love to show you doing terrible things there, Billy. And then as soon as you turn around, terrible.
All right.
Anyway, listen, it's...
they stink!
That's right.
So-called heinous crime.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Listen, you said it, I didn't. And I always find, you know, we don't talk about ratings much on this show. I always find like, you could take the ratings and make them whatever you want to make them, right?
Right.
So the first story comes out and it goes, so lowest rated 30 for 30 in 2 years. Okay. Then Neil Best, who's on Mike's payroll, to the point of really just embarrassing himself. I mean, he wears knee pads 4 days a week. Okay. I mean, he's worn through at least five or six pairs. The way he's on Mike's jock, it fascinates me that he calls himself a journalist. He's a total clown hack who's on Mike's payroll to the point where he can't write an article about anything or anyone without then referencing, and Mike's back on the radio today at 1 o'clock. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he denies that and thinks it's not true. I mean, go back and read 10 of the last 20 columns. It's driven towards one person. It's a joke. And then you have to pay extra for it if you're not an optimum subscriber online. Which
is that a new report or an old report?
Tragedy. But it's funny. And then, so the first report comes out, lowest rated 30 for 30 in 2 years. And then Neil comes out and goes, but it did a great number in New York, quadrupling that number and dominating its time slot in New York. Like you're being paid to, you know, be the spokesperson for the Mike and Chris. It's
team rises to the crap.
Anyway, here's Jerry with an update.
Who cares?
I said I get interested in what was it about Daniel Murphy and Justin Turner that the Mets decided can't play for us? Murphy's batting 350 almost. Turner's batting 370, and they're killing it. But they weren't good enough to play for the Mets. So I like the off the field stories. What was it about them guys that the Mets said no, not here, can't have that? So that's why I delved into that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Exactly right.
All right.
Meanwhile, Jerry's got an update with all of the good stuff.
All right. Brought to you by Chris Stapleton, July 20th, PNC Bank Arts Center, July 21st, Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We'll start with the Yankees and Red Sox because they completed their doubleheader last night. This was the play that pretty much, I'm not going to say sealed it, but this was the deciding factor. You could make the case, especially with the judge head.
There's the 1-0. Hit on the ground at third, and it goes past Reyes, a base hit to left field. Scoring is Betts, and Boston takes a 3-0 lead on the RBI single from Dustin Pedroia.
And so that's John Sterling, the fan, regardless of whether Judge hit the homer or not. That put Boston up 3-0. They won 3-0 as they split the two and split the four-game series. Mookie Betts a home run in the third inning of this game as well. Here was Joe Girardi. Judge had the home run taken away. Fair enough. He did not have a good weekend, though. He says, so be it. It's Major League Baseball.
Went through a tough time for the first time this year. I mean, it's kind of what, you know, it's going to happen at some point. You're going to have a tough 3 or 4 days, 5 days.
And the 4 days.
They've had a tough 30 days.
They have. I did not realize. I mean, I probably should have, but I didn't realize till yesterday morning that the Rays went past them.
Yeah.
And they've played good baseball, but even today they're still a half game up on the Yankees.
Rays have played more games, that's why.
They have. No, they have, but they've played better than people thought.
The Yankees have played 90 games. Right? They're 47
the Yankees are
47-43,
right.
So they've played 90 games.
43.
The Rays have played 93 games.
Right.
So there you have it.
Yep, exactly.
The game that kills the Yanks is the Friday night game when he got the lead and Chapman on the mound because they would be one out in the loss column.
You make the case, though, they shouldn't have won Saturday, though. To me, it balanced itself out. They should have absolutely won Friday night. Yeah, I mean, it was just the whole weekend was
Kimbrel.
Yes. This was funny from Saturday. At least I found this amusing. By the way, the Yankees won Sunday afternoon 3-0. CC Sabathia walked a bunch of guys, but still went six.
That's
good
a big
innings.
Deal considering
it's got eight wins now.
I heard some of that on the radio, and I heard Susan had mentioned on the radio that, you know, he didn't do any type of real rehab stint. He did one simulated game. And I guess after the simulated game he went to Girardi and Cashman and said, I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's just go. And they came to him. It's like, can I remember Matt Harvey? When the Mets went to him like an hour before the game, that afternoon game, whatever
yes,
it was,
and he
spit the bit.
Right.
Well, they did the same thing to Sabathia. He pitched his ass off.
And he said he was asked about it. He said, I've got a book on these. I've pitched against them a million times. I'm ready to go.
But the difference between Harvey and Sabathia is that Sabathia basically is coming off of the All-Star break, so he had more than enough rest.
Plus, Harvey, by the way, has lost like 30 pounds.
Has he really?
He looks fantastic. Yeah, and he's going to be thrown in a couple weeks. He really looks... Frankly, a lot healthier than us.
On the paleo diet, maybe? Or the
I don't know what diet he's
diet.
On, but...
maybe the Duke's diet?
I a lot of salmon the other day, and sweet potatoes. I was like, broccoli. I didn't even know it was Matt Harvey.
I offered Al a Gatorade yesterday, and he's like, turned it down.
Well,
I only drink
calories.
Water.
A lot of sugar in it.
A lot of sugar. Yeah, I only drink
a lot
water.
Of sugar. And plus, you got to be running around. To drink Gatorade the right way, it's for an athlete.
Yes.
So you got to run away and replenish.
That's exactly right.
Al works out. He's not really an athlete, so there's nothing to replenish.
It was very warm yesterday. A lot of replenishment.
It was. We were replenishing.
I want to be a bad guy here, but I'm going to be.
Okay.
I saw Al as he was walking down the stands to the field, you know, before the game started.
Yeah.
And I thought he was dying. He looks sickly.
He's very thin.
No, it's come to the point where it's I believe it's a disease or sickness he has.
Those uniforms are very tight.
And I am now legitimately worried about you because you had, for a good period of time, you were thin, healthy looking. You look sickly now.
I
would
meat.
Say that, Al, you are like the opposite of me. Like, I fill out the entire uniform. Yeah, yeah. You don't fill out any of the uniform.
In fairness, we're puffy.
No,
he's normal.
This had nothing to do with us. I agree.
No, it is. Because we look in the mirror and we think we're the norm.
No, we're not.
And we are the norm, sadly. We're fat.
We're
men, Jerry.
He's got
certain guys that want to feel manly.
Yeah.
Al is the healthiest person here.
Yeah. I disagree with that.
Yeah, well, you can disagree all you want. When was the last time Al was sick?
I would say that he is the healthiest guy here.
Al is the healthiest guy here.
There is no strain on his heart or anything.
No, there's not. Just the show.
Just go boom, 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 boom. Perfect.
Nope.
2 years
ago, I agree. Now,
he's slow, though.
He's sickly.
He's like Wilma Flores.
Oh, by the way, he had like a grand piano on his back trying, and his excuse was, it's 90 feet. I go, you're still running, though.
I didn't see a single person on our team running out. Ground balls, not a single one.
Well, they should all be fired then.
Agree.
We see how instead of taking the criticism, you try to put it on others.
You know, by the way, everybody from was you. Running out balls. The only guy, Eddie didn't run out of ball.
I actually was running.
I heard there was someone that did not make an effort for a pop up.
Is that me?
Oh, that was Boomer. And then when he did, he almost
sure
fell down.
Was.
So it was a little bit.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
The mound was right behind where he was pitching. So the first pop up to the mound, he said, "I'm not walking over the mound. It's dangerous." And then I think, you know, ego took over the second time. He goes, fine, my ball. And we didn't catch that one either.
My bad.
I misplayed a pop-up in the sun. Al missed the pop-up. And listen, we should have won the game. And once again, we gave a game away. It all started, though, with the very first batter of the game. Can of corn to a left center. And once again, Boomer's nephew, Randy, in his glove, out of his glove.
Really?
That set the tone.
And the worst
Randy
part about
dropped
it,
a fly ball?
Yeah, a pop-up.
Basically. A pop-up. Not even like a running.
And he didn't have the run for it either. And then DiPietro basically decided, you know what? I'm going to have to take over for Randy because I can't trust him now.
Right.
So then DiPietro tries to run in front. You know how Kirschner does?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He tries to run in front of everybody and make every play because he's like the Tasmanian devil on the field.
Yes.
So now this becomes DiPietro's turn to become the Tasmanian devil.
Another ball
and
drops.
He goes to try to make a play in front of Randy, and Randy just sits there.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get run over by him.
Run over. He's a professional athlete, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what is this? Are you flesh and blood? What is this?
He has tattoos. Oh, he might hurt me.
Oh, yeah. A dysfunctional group.
I mean, God.
It is a very dysfunctional group, yeah. Randy had a tough day. Really tough day.
Can't even say we had a good time, to be honest.
That's fair.
That was a good time. We had fun.
We had fun. And it was
That's
a great
stadium, by the way, man.
Yeah, what
that
else
is
you got,
really
Jay?
A cool place.
Just quickly, we're running out of time here. The Mets did lose. They were horrendous yesterday. Well, Steven Matz was horrendous. He gave up 7 runs before recording it out in the second inning. You had the Charlie Blackman inside the park home run that was not an inside the park home run.
It was a real home run. But they counted it as an inside the park home run. And it made Curtis Granderson look bad. He saw it go over the orange line, but the umpires didn't.
No need to review it because
reviewed.
He went all the way.
Right.
Well, why?
Because it should be a home run. It shouldn't be listed
It still
as,
goes in the books as a home run,
goes
though.
As an inside the park home run.
Well, there's no official stat for inside the park home run, is there? I don't know that, actually. That's a good question.
Right, Curtis Granderson was asked about it afterwards. And it was his
He's
answer.
Like, why should I go after it? I know it's a home run.
It was a home run.
Right.
And so the Charlie guy's Blackman. Speeding around the bases. By the way, the whole Met team stopped, you know?
Yeah.
And it was. They hit the M&M sign. It was
right.
A home run.
Exactly. So, whatever. They wound up losing.
Now, by the way, that whole thing is stupid. The ball should go over the fence.
I agree 100%.
The line is ridiculous.
Either goes over a fence or it doesn't.
Like what's the point of that?
If it hits the big green monster, is there a line on the big green monster?
You know why they did it, right?
Why?
Because of David Wright.
It was a whole team couldn't hit a home
they
run.
They couldn't hit home runs. So, you have a nice wall there. And, you know, you put advertising on it. It's all well and good. But there's the orange tape. Why is the orange tape there? Because the Mets couldn't hit it over it.
I'm with Boomer, though. They already pulled the fences in. Just leave the wall what it is.
By the way, I agree with both of you. It should be
crazy.
Off the wall is get as much as you can. Over the wall is a home run.
Yep.
Why we have this dopey orange line? And they're not the only ones that do it. There's a number of stadiums that have a dopey line. is beyond me.
I think it's Arizona or Milwaukee. I forget. They have it in center field.
Stupid.
Like, I mean, I think it's
now,
Arizona.
Their argument's going to be that they're separate walls, that the M&M
the M&M thing is right over the top of it.
It's not connected to it?
I don't care. It's right over the top of it.
I agree.
Just hit it over the M&M sign.
Right, and maybe we should win M&M's or something.
Yeah, or something.
If a New York Met hits a home run to that
everybody
part of the
gets
field,
M&M's.
Everybody gets M&M's.
Of course, only the Mets. They would do that, and then the ball would slip through the crack between the M&M's.
And something like that. We're not giving out any M&M's. No, it didn't hit it. It did not hit it.
The Nationals did beat the Reds 14-4. You mentioned Daniel Murphy. 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. It really is ridiculous. And the Dodgers have won 9 straight, beat the Marlins 3-2. Mentioned the Ozuna catch. Well, Justin Turner did hit a home run. He's batting 374, Craig.
Justin Turner's batting 374.
Justin Turner, how many at-bats does he have?
He's soon going to start qualifying if he doesn't already, because he missed, about 45 days, I would say, because of injury.
So right now, they have Daniel Murphy leading the National League with 348 batting average. Justin Turner doesn't have enough at-bats
he's getting there,
to
though.
Register for that, right?
Right, correct.
All right, so the point being is that you could have Daniel Murphy and Justin Turner fighting for MVP.
Well, certainly fighting 1-2 for a lot of offense.
Well, I don't
statistics.
Think Turner will, but you can certainly make the case that they're going to be 1-2 batting-wise.
Let me ask you this. If the Dodgers win their division, which it clearly looks
Daniel
like they
Murphy
will.
Daniel Murphy has 71
Cody.
RBIs.
But let's say if Turner goes on a two-month, continues his tear, and let's say he bats 380.
Well.
I'm just putting it out there,
sure.
Right? 370, fine. He bats 370 and has... How many at-bats do you have now? Any idea?
I have the
I know he's not on the major list. Yeah, tell me how many at-bats
if he bats 380 and Bellinger cools off, he's got a shot. If Bellinger
he'd
hits
be in the
50
conversation,
home runs...
He'd have to be. Right, the problem is that he's on the same team as Bellinger.
Bellinger, if you remember, things really turned for them when Bellinger was called up and started going nuts with the home run ball. And by the way, Clayton Kershaw, I think, is 13-2.
He's got 238 at-bats, boom. Right, go towards...
He'll get
back
there.
A little bit.
There
so,
60 games to go.
So if he's got... 65 games, 4 at-bats a game. That's 260 more at-bats. So he could get to 500 at-bats. That's possible.
Yeah.
But he might come a little short. But
he's only got 11 home runs and 39 RBIs because he missed all those games.
So if you double those numbers, right? If 20-plus home runs, 90 RBIs, and he bats 370 on a team that wins the division by 20 games. He'd have to be in the conversation, wouldn't he, Boom?
Well, the interesting thing is that Justin Turner has 238 at-bats. Cody Bellinger has 269 at-bats.
Yep.
So they're relatively close in the amount of games they've played as well. Bellinger's played 33 and Justin Turner 68. Well, so
it'll be interesting.
I just think because Justin Turner is batting what he's batting, 374.
He's got to be in the conversation.
As long as he continues to do what he's doing. But Daniel Murphy is just having another unbelievable year.
Daniel Murphy, might be
the MVP. Unbelievable years.
That whole lineup is absurd.
Can't play for the Mets, though. Mets couldn't have worse luck.
He would not be batting when he's batting.
How do you know? Here.
No, because he's
in a lineup that's just ridiculous.
I don't buy that crap.
But plus, he's also healthy with the Washington Nationals. He wouldn't be healthy with the Mets.
Like Murphy has come out and said it.
I don't. So... Who are you pitching around to pitch to a guy batting 350?
Well, do you want to pitch to Anthony Rendon and Bryce Harper and Zimmerman?
It's
ridiculous.
Every single one of
those
guys.
And they're all batting in the 300s. It's pick your poison.
And every single one of those guys kills the Mets.
The
every
one guy you'd want to pitch to in that group would probably be the guy that doesn't hit as many home runs. Although, what's he got, 17 now?
Are you talking about Rendon or are you talking about Murphy?
I'm talking about Murph.
Ridiculous.
Right. So the New York Mets, that's great, Matt. That's great front office decisions there. Justin Turner can't play for us. Oh, and neither can Murphy. Neither can Murphy. He's a net negative.
There was not one Met fan that thought it was a bad thing letting Justin Turner
I remember
go.
Yelling
there
and screaming
wasn't.
The day they got rid of Justin Turner saying, why are you getting rid of one of our guys? You go back and check the tape.
The net negative.
The net negatives. Maybe they didn't like his religious beliefs either. Please. At the end of the day, just if a guy can play ball, he can play ball. Let him play ball.
Look, they're net negatives.
Because I know Neil Walker's killing it for the Mets right now.
He's hurt.
And who's playing third?
TJ Rivera, who is killing it right now. Oh, by the
course,
way.
He had 9-game hit streak. That set him down.
They'll get rid of him next year, so don't worry about us.
They did. Don't forget, last game before the All-Star break, he had a 9-game hit streak. And what did they do? He's not playing today. Stupid. As Forrest Gump said, stupid is what the Mets do. Boomer and Carton on the Fan. Your call's coming up.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
Boomer's out on Friday.
That's right.
I think Governor Christie's
I could take like 4 weeks off straight. I don't do that. I mean, you took 8 days
Why
off.
Why you have to throw it at me?
You took eight just straight days off.
Yourself.
I didn't do that.
Just answer for yourself.
I take one here, take one there, and try to keep this thing together here.
Don't talk about me. Just answer for yourself. That's all. Answer for yourself.
All right. I just
All did. You got to do is answer for yourself. That's all. So Boomer and Carton on the Fan. A quick thing before I get back to your calls. You know, it's funny. Boomer sent me a text yesterday, which came totally out of left field, and I wasn't expecting it. And it's what he said is indicative of what's going on right now this summer. And that is, for the first time maybe ever, summer league basketball is being watched, and it's being watched in record numbers. Now, a lot of that has to do, to be fair, with Alonzo Ball. And what comes along with his dad and everything else.
Exactly.
And he's played great, by
exactly.
the way.
Well, he got off to a bad start his first game. You remember he came in the next morning, oh, he can't shoot.
Well, he's not a great shooter.
Yeah, he hadn't played a basketball game in 3 months. Kind of like our softball team. We haven't played a softball game in 6 weeks, and looks like we've never played before. But since that first game, this kid has been off the charts, man. He has been
so
everything
the that's ratings. Average.
And rightfully so. So I think it's his basketball playing prowess first and foremost. Look, but his dad.
Yeah, but I think
also
it's a few
creates.
Things. I think it's also the best NBA draft talent wise we've had in a long time. So, for example, when they played the Sixers, you wanted to see Fultz against him.
But he didn't play.
Now, well, they did play that game. Fultz got hurt. That's where he hurt his ankle towards the end of that game. So the reality is that you have a guy who. Off the court is transcended a lot because his dad's big mouth. And to the kid, I know it's only, 4 or 5 games, but to his credit, when put on the court with a chance to shine, and again, he's not a great shooter. He never will be, in my opinion.
Oh, he made some plays. He's
but
been
he's a playmaker.
Now, he is far and away better than everybody on the court that he's playing against right now. So when the real men show up, we'll find out just how good he is. But, you know, you got to remember, he's 6'7".
And thin as anything.
He'll grow into it. But he also handles the ball like he's, you know, 5'10".
No, he's
I believe that he is about as gifted a passer as you're ever going to see. I mean, just watching, I watched him a little bit in college. And, you know, obviously you get interested because the dad's got a big mouth.
Yep.
But watching him play in this summer league and watching some of the passes that he's thrown and it's such ease to throw those passes.
Yeah, no, he's proven that he thus far is worthy of where he got picked. Now, like you said, when the big boys show up to play and he's getting out muscled by guys that weigh 30 pounds more than him and have the same height as him, it'll be interesting. But it's been fun watching him and a lot of these other kids play. What's his name? Tatum with the Celtics might be the best of all of them, by the way. He's been killing it in the summer league. Now,
I don't know. I mean, this kid, Alonzo Ball, has lived up to every little bit of or any hype that has been thrown his way. This summer league basketball, he's worth the price of admission to just go and watch
yep.
it.
Now, quick thing on the New York Giants, because I tease it that the Giants, it's not how you want it, but you take it because I'm of the notion that, you know, you don't, if you could play a team when they're not healthy and at their best, that's when you want them. You want every advantage possible to win games. So the story came out over the weekend. I think Adam Schefter was the first to report it. That it does look like the NFL is going to suspend Ezekiel Elliott for that nonsense went on with the woman, I guess, a year ago, which he was accused of doing A, B, and C. And he's not been found guilty of anything, but I guess there's enough stuff there where something obviously went down. And the NFL, it looks like, is going to suspend him for a game or two. That is good news for the Giants. I want to be clear about what I'm saying. I don't want that to be taken as me being cavalier at all about what he's accused of doing. I'm looking at football solely from football, and if you play the Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott, you got a much better shot of beating them. And on September 10th at MetLife Stadium, guess what? You want to play them at their weakest if possible,
well,
and you may get that chance.
I would say the interesting thing for him is I guess you could fight it. You know what I'm saying?
You could appeal it.
You could appeal it, and then I don't know if that would be a quick appeal or it would be later on in the season. So
my gut is that if they're going to suspend you for one game or two games,
get it over with,
and you know what took place between you and the woman. I have no idea what it is, but you know what took place, and they've done I mean, goddamn, it's like a year long investigation into it.
At
this
least
point.
That.
I could see if they said 4 games, maybe you appeal it. If they're telling you, look, you're going to miss 1 game, 2 games, my gut tells me he just sits it out.
I would think so.
You know,
but
that's my gut, though. But you know, they have the Giants.
They also have quality running backs. They got Alfred Morris, I believe. They got McFadden down there.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you're not going to be playing against somebody that can't play. I mean,
but you'd rather play him without him.
Well, sure you would.
You know, so that was the good news that the New York Giants got over the weekend. It's not official yet, but it appears that it will be. Here is Damian in Middletown on the Fan. D, what's cooking, buddy? Damian, you there, kid, or no? We have one of them problems again now, or is he just not capable of...
He's just not capable.
He's just not capable of using the phone properly. I watched as soon as I hit drop. Damian! Okay, no good. Here's Irv and Paramus on the Fan. Irv, what do you got today, Hammer?
Well, hello, Boomer, and hello, Greggy. The first thing I think I'd like to say is thank you very, very much. Over the past decade, for the handful of times that you have made reference to Bob Wolf, I also was a student of his.
All right.
I read his book on sportscasting, where he does mention you as being one of just a handful of students of his that were serious and went on to have successful careers. I don't think most of your listeners have any idea what a wonderful and extraordinary man he was. And, you know, I remember seeing him interviewed at the funeral of Bill Mazur about 5 years ago.
Right.
And the last few years, I've always been checking in on Sunday mornings to make sure that Rick Wolf was at his station, just thinking no news is good news.
Let me tell you a story.
Rick did his show yesterday.
I'm going to tell you a story real quick about Bob. I put this out on Twitter for those people that are on Twitter. Boom and I have done this show for 10 years. And you have, I mean, a million guests have come through these doors that we've had on, well-known people. And in 10 years, and I don't no expectation for it, because I don't think you've ever done it. Or maybe I've never done it. Three men that have been on this show have written me or us handwritten personal letters after coming on our show.
Right.
Three of them. Earl Campbell was the latest to do it and sent us a really nice note and actually an autographed jersey. That's one. Number two, Jerry Seinfeld wrote me a note after coming on with us at one point.
He didn't write me a note.
No, that's right. He wrote me a note.
Wrote you a note. Why did he write you a note? Didn't write me a note.
Fan of what I do.
Oh, okay.
And number three was Bob Wolf, which I have tacked to my wall in front of where I sit, and I tweeted it out today. And I don't know why that resonates with me, because you don't have any expectation that, oh, hey, we just had Grant Hill on. Is he going to write me a note? I don't expect it. But he wrote just a very thoughtful, nice note, which you remember and you hold on to. So, yes.
He was that kind of man. He reached out, not just to the community, but to his students. And unfortunately, most of the classes I was in, I was the only one that was interested. Most of the kids.
Well, you sound like you're a bit older as well, if I may say.
I'm 63.
So how old were you when you took his course or class?
In my 30s, I took four or five different classes. And there was only one girl who went on to any broadcasting success. Her name was Lisa Winston, and she wrote high school sports for the Gannett papers.
Good.
And then I noticed her byline in the newspaper, USA Today Baseball of the Week. She did minor league sports. Other than that, people, there was some shitty kids that
Listen, I appreciate that, and he obviously is a special part of my life as well, Irv, so I appreciate what you're saying there. Boy, Irv dropping the bomb. How about that?
Did not expect that from Irv.
I did not know at all, man. He had us do, remember, you know, that old video that's out there of me with hair as like a 17-year-old interviewing the guy from Africa who actually like killed a lion and was royalty and so this whatever small African nation he's from. Do you remember that?
He had you do that interview?
So what we did, we put on a TV newscast was one of the things we did. At a cable station in Tarrytown.
Okay.
And I did a one-on-one. I'm sure you guys have it somewhere. With this, one of the kids in the class.
I got it.
Was from, you know, a place in the world you probably couldn't find on a map. Wore like African robes, you know, to class and whatnot. And I interviewed him. And that's the type of stuff you got to do. You know, I remember he took us to Yankee Stadium. And that, you know, like, one of the first things I saw you do, when you do it, and you still do it, you make these big boards up when you do the Monday night game.
Yes.
And it's, someone taught you that because it's an old school broadcaster thing.
Right.
So I remember back in 1985, Bob Wolf brought one of those in. And he had his boards, and what the boards are, you can describe it better than me.
Well, basically what a board is, it just gives you notes and gives you the jersey numbers. My boards particularly are done where I want to know where the kid went to college, where he was drafted, if there are any statistics that he has built up for the season, or maybe a career statistics, or you know something like, it depends on where you are in the season, and the boards will reflect the players that you're talking about.
And there's like a little box, their number,
now,
and it's where they line up.
Right, so Marv Albert had a board, and so does Ian Eagle. They all have boards.
No, everyone,
they all have boards.
Right.
And Kevin Harlan. So the three guys that I remember, I think Howard David also did this. Their boards were all handwritten. And Kevin, and I think Ian does this too, has a manila folder. And they just handwrite all these little notes they want to get to throughout the game.
Right.
I mean, I don't have, like, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't sit down for like 3 hours and write all this stuff down like these guys do. But this is what they do for a living, and this is how they do it, and this is how they refer back to some notes that they want to bring forward to
the game. It's an old school thing.
Yeah.
And that's why when you hear a radio announcer especially say, he's a 6'4 freshman from Mississippi.
He's reading off his board.
He's got his board. So I'll never forget, Bob Wolf came in one day, and he had all these boards. And I looked at one or two of them. I was fascinated by it, right? And then I realized these weren't boards from like just any game. Like, he had, like, the Cotton Bowl, you know, for the national championship.
Did he have the Colts and the Giants championship game?
I don't remember seeing that one. But he had, like, the boards from games that, like, changed the course of sports history. And he just brought them in, put them on the table and said, this is how you prepare. Because one of the things we do was play-by-play. This is how you prepare to do a game.
You know, it was amazing.
I was like, I can never do that.
Well, you know what? And the thing about it is, you actually did a couple play-by-play games. You did the Nets a few times. And you also did the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
And you didn't have any boards in front of you.
No.
And somehow you did what you did. But that was the one thing I think was missing during those games that you did.
Well, the hockey was. The basketball, to me, I couldn't do it that way. And I'm like, guys don't do boards for basketball. I think they all do them for football. I think those boards that they set up, I believe it's football only.
Right.
I don't think Ian Eagle goes to a game and I think he probably writes down notes.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has LeBron James, you know, power forward. You know,
I don't, but I think he does have points per game and he probably has total points and whatever, but
who knows? I just show up and do it.
Show up and do
it. Well, just easier that way. Why get bogged down in all the crap? Just announce. Like, to me, my job is to announce what I see.
Yes.
Right?
And that's yes.
Your job is to keep filling all the facts and that crap. You should keep boards.
That's not my job.
Well, I'm saying
my job is to analyze what I see.
Yeah. I'm just telling you.
You set it up, I knock it down. That's the way it works.
We should do more play-by-play.
No, we shouldn't.
But I do have one request.
Yes.
I've never asked you for nothing. Now that we're on this, Al and I were talking about this morning. I would like to do an NFL game.
I can't make that happen.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you know you could.
No, I can't.
I don't care if it's an off-air thing. I want to go be in the booth, and I want to do an NFL game with you. And you know full well you could make that happen.
No,
now, I
can't
could probably pick up the phone, make a couple calls, but you could just knock it out, boom. And here's what I'm thinking.
It would take you replacing somebody who has a real job.
It could be an off-air thing.
What do you mean an off-air thing?
I want the experience of doing like a Jet or Giant preseason game.
The executive producer is Howard Dinneroff.
Call him up. And I view it this way.
You know Howie.
I think Showtime would go for it, especially now. You see your pal? With McGregor at all or no?
Yeah, I have. Stephen Espinosa. Yeah, he's all up in this thing.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Well, Portland there's a player on Portland that is now wooing him since the Houston thing, although it's not dead, you know, took a turn and apparently the Knicks pissed a lot of people off, but they're too bad. It's the Knicks got to do what's good for the Knicks, and they bring a new guy in here who's going to have some say in what goes on. You know, take a breath, take a step back. Let's figure out what is going on and then make a decision that's best for the Knicks. So I got no problem with the last 48 hours from the Knicks perspective.
Right, but the point being is that I think Carmelo's already got it in his brain that he's out of here.
He thinks he's going to Houston.
Right.
So my gut is that it doesn't matter if there's a new sheriff in town. Carmelo Anthony's gone, mentally gone.
I think he's mentally gone.
And I get that.
It's kind of interesting. So the Bengals are doing their like 50-year history.
All right.
And so they're taking us all down memory lane, and you're reading about some of the things that went on and how guys got drafted or guys got shipped away or whatever. Sure. And I remember, you know, my last year in Cincinnati before I went back there, you know, at the end of my career.
Right.
And they had drafted David Klingler out of the University of Houston. And I remember I basically checked out. I was just like, you know, I can't deal with David Shula and David Klingler and the whole new Bengal way of doing things after Sam Weiss had been fired. And, you know, so I basically lasted 1 year, and I knew that it was the end. My time had come to an end.
Right.
And they didn't try to convince me. They traded me to the Jets and all that other stuff. And I was just trying to put myself in Carmelo's situation where, you know, I think I'm gone. There's nothing I can do here. And I think Phil Jackson was right with when he said, look, if you want to win a championship, you're going to have to go do it somewhere else because we're really far away from doing that here.
Yep.
The one thing I do like about what the Knicks did, and I said this when Wally Szczerbiak was here the first day that you took off that elongated vacation. I said, look, why not just give the president's job to Steve Mills? He's been a loyal employee here. He's been here for, you know, God knows how long. He's been quiet underneath Phil Jackson and Donnie Walsh and everybody else and Grunwald and he's always been the one guy that's there. Give him a shot to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
And now he goes out and he gets Scott Perry, who supposedly by all accounts, you know, has the track record and the pedigree that you want your GM to have in the NBA. So at least that point, they're getting it right. And the thing that I like about what I've read now, young, athletic. And that's what every sport should be, young and athletic. That's what the Yankees are. Yankees are young and athletic.
That's right.
You know, the Rangers retool themselves as young and athletic. You want to be young and athletic. So I like what the Knicks are saying right now. I like what they're doing. It's just a matter of time before Carmelo is out of here. I know they want to meet with Carmelo, but I don't think that's to convince him to stay here. Maybe it's to convince him to open up his mind to maybe
other
be traded to another team, maybe somebody like Portland.
Well, I suppose there's just Cleveland and Houston, but now Portland showing some interest. Maybe. We'll see. A player to player, but who knows?
You never know.
Anyway, Jerry Recco's here. I know that, and he's got an update.
Good morning. We are brought to you by AmTrust Title, led by industry veteran Steve Napolitano. AmTrust Title, you're on solid ground. Sunday night baseball from Fenway Park. Yankees, after dropping the game on Friday night, the Aroldis Chapman game, they get the extra inning marathon game Saturday. Then Sunday afternoon, get a win 3-0. They were going to try to make a 3-of-4, and they couldn't get it done. They lost 3-0 along the way. You had this play from Jackie Bradley Jr. with the slumping Aaron Judge to play.
Aaron is 0-4-3 in the nightcap. And the pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep center. Away back. It is high. It is far. It is caught by Bradley. He stole a home run from Judge.
That would have made the game 3-2 in the eighth.
So I saw your Ozuna catch in the Miami game.
Remarkable.
The Ozuna catch was unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, this is a good catch. But you expect somebody of Jackie Bradley Jr. to go up and
make
that play.
I think the best part of that catch, though, is the fact that he probably had to run about 20, 30 yards to get to it. And, you know, turned his back and goes and then finds the wall and obviously makes a really good catch. And that's what it was. It was a really good catch that robbed Judge of a two-run home run. I mean, he hit that ball 418 feet.
He did. And you know? Price was quoted after as saying that he thought it was going to hit the Jumbotron and thought the wind blew it back
I think the best part of the game for the Yanks in a loss is that Tanaka looked really good.
Here is Joe Girardi, 7 2/3 from him.
I thought he made one bad pitch, you know, slider that didn't do much. Besides that, I thought he was really good.
About 3-0 the final. David Price, 8 innings, 8 strikeouts for the win. Craig Kimbrel, the save.
Craig Kimbrel.
In terms of Judge, he obviously has not hit since the break ended. It's only 4 games. But that said, Girardi says day off coming.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking either Tuesday or Wednesday, and I've already told him, you know, that's probably what I would do.
And
I mean, he just hit the ball
Minnesota.
418 feet. The guy makes a great catch.
He's tired, Craig.
You
He's
know,
very
I
tired.
Mean, if he hits a 2-run home run there, no, I don't think anyone's talking about,
Right, but he's exhausted, so he will get a day off this week.
Come on.
Yankees will be in Minnesota tonight. Brian Mitchell will get the start.
There's nothing exhausting about playing baseball.
It's a lot of standing around. It can be taxing on your back. It's
now,
not
the way
good.
We play softball, I mean, we might be sore for a day or two, but we're also in our mid to late 40s or 50s, and we play once every month. How many games we got left, by the way?
Yours, I think.
Is that it?
One.
August 24th is the last game we got?
Correct.
I wonder why we're waiting so long to play it.
We always play it that time, don't we? The end of August?
Who knows? That just means I got to take the 25th off now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Don't you think?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Shouldn't play softball on a Thursday night and have to get
to
up early
Friday
morning.
To me, that's the one mistake we make every year.
Is working the day after the new Rochelle game?
Yeah, because for most of us, the new Rochelle game is quite far.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you look at the clock, rather just enjoy it.
I would do that, and I think you would get great joy out of it. You bring your kids a lot of times.
Yeah.
Boomer always enjoys being there. Eddie is typically down for the pound. But Al, if Al's going to show up and be miserable going to the state, to the field and bitch and moan about that and actually get there 5 hours early and sleep in his car because, God forbid, you come with us to Greasy and Eggs or you go to to Beachmont for wings or enjoy ourselves, have a drink or two, and then maybe have a drink or two after the game as well, there's no point in us taking the next day off if you're going to be miserable anyway.
Well, speaking as Al's work spouse, he is less miserable if we're off the next day.
That is true.
If I'm going to hear this at 9 o'clock at night, I just want to get back to Jersey. Don't want to have to deal with traffic. Then I'm not changing it.
No, I would not be in a rush to get home if I was off the next day.
Would you stay and drink after the game?
Well, not drink because I still have to drive home in 2 hours.
Or you could have Gina drive.
Whatever. You'd stay and
enjoy
go out for dinner.
A Grizzy Nick's burger and fries. With you guys? Wings at the wing
the
place?
Beachmont?
Beachmont?
Yeah. Is the Beachmont that bar on the corner we go to?
Yeah.
That would be
parking.
Fun.
Here, after going to that Staten Island Yankee Stadium, from now on, I'm only going places that have a parking lot for their place. Like these restaurants.
I'm with them on this.
These restaurants.
The problem with that place is that, you know, you had construction and everything else going on all over the place.
But I don't know how, you build a restaurant. Let's say you're going to open up Boomers. You have no parking lot?
There was a parking lot next to it.
You could say that about every restaurant in New York City.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't go out.
New York City.
But even there's some places down the Jersey Shore. It's a restaurant with no parking lot. I'm not fighting for parking to go eat at your restaurant.
Any main street in any main town. Like, I'm sure Basking Ridge is not a lot of parking.
Oh, there's parking lots.
There is parking lots.
Yeah.
So you're a big parking lot guy. So that's where you decide when you want to live somewhere.
Who's not a big parking lot guy?
They better have parking.
Parking lot and a driveway.
You know, I love you, but I don't know how she puts up with you.
I don't either.
My favorite song is Pave Paradise, Put Up a Parking Lot.
What else, Jerry?
He's right about that. Red Sox, Toronto tonight. Rays are in Oakland. Mentioned that because you've got the Yankees and the standings and all that stuff. As far as the Mets, this is how the day, essentially, though, he still faced another batter. Here's how the day ended for Steven Matz.
2-2 to Arenado. Swing and a drive. Well hit. Left center. It's deep. Granderson going back at the track, at the wall. It's gone. A three-run homer for Nolan Arenado.
Howie Rose on WOR. That made it 7-0 with nobody out in the second. Not good, especially when you consider how much success Seth Lugo was having the day before. Howie was certainly quick to mention that.
And so Seth Lugo has a nice bulge.
When things are going well, certainly makes sense. 13-4 was the final score yesterday.
Nice bulge to work with.
They
start whacking it.
They actually know.
Whacking it.
They were the Colorado was whacking it all over City Field. 9-0 lead in the fourth. Trevor Story a 2-run double. Charlie Blackman an inside the park home run. It was a regular home run. And Gerardo Parra homered in the eighth inning. Here's Matt's what happened.
It just wasn't really sharp today, and you know I was leaving balls right over the middle of the plate. And they were hitting it.
Yeah, and so
they needed a sweep. They really needed a sweep.
They did,
man.
And they didn't get it. By the way, you know the Braves are actually at 500 now,
yes.
At 45-45. Mets Cardinals tonight, Zach Wheeler, Adam Wainwright, the starters there. Nationals hammered the Reds 14-4, the story yet again.
Now the pitch, Murphy swings, hits it high and deep to right field. Back goes Winker to the warning track, at the wall. It is gone, goodbye. Three rows deep. Zoom goes Daniel Murphy with a two-run, two-out blast here.
Yeah, he had another home run in that game as well.
I think he's in that negative.
He's a triple positive right now. They won 14-4. Two homers, five RBIs for Murphy. And by the way, Washington got some bullpen help as they acquired Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle from the A's for Blake Treinen and a pair of prospects. And the Dodgers beat the Marlins 3-2. Best team in baseball. They've won nine straight. Justin Turner, a home run.
He's batting 374. And the Cubs shut out the Orioles 8-0. Jose Quintana in his Cubs debut, 7 innings, 12 strikeouts in the win there. I know we're out of time, but again, have to mention the passing of the great Bob Wolf. He was 96 years old, and as you pointed out earlier, Boomer, was still working up to very recently. And interesting, his son Rick did his show yesterday morning on The Fan, so just a terrible with the passing of Bob Wolf. And Roger Federer did win Wimbledon for like the 400th time.
Yeah, the upside is that he got to live to 96.
Yes.
You know, so had a great, I think he had nine grandkids, you know, maybe six or seven great grandkids. And if you could sign up for 96 and be with it, you know, mentally and everything else, definitely I think every one of us would sign up for that. And I know they're going to have a private funeral for him, et cetera. But thoughts, of course, go out to the Wolf family. I was doing some research.
Okay.
During Jerry's update there. Because I like to do research. Research is fun for me sometimes.
Yep.
Especially when it's a topic I really enjoy.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
We use that to play audio on this show.
Yes.
They're really hurting our program.
They're really doing us a terrible disservice.
Do the legal eagles that know that what they're doing and how they're impacting the show or no?
I'm sure they're not thinking about that.
How do you know it was shut down?
Oh, because I got confirmation that it has been shut down.
Got it.
It says it on his thing, shut down.
Ah,
that guy was like a service aide for us, like they have like, the 10-10
yeah,
wins.
Like in a weird way, Sports Funhouse, although no connection officially to us, really was a producer of our show because he provided us access. He took the time to work to catch all of the funny stuff that happens on Mike's show so that we can easily access it and use it. So I would ask the powers that be, if it got that far, to you know, allow him to do what he does, really as an adjunct to our show. And what's more important than our show here? Oh, I forgot. I guess there's some things.
There are a few things.
And
here we go.
How are you doing, everybody? Michael Mad Dog, mornings, Michael. Ted, I thought you didn't even know that the station existed from 6 to 10. Is there any sense you're calling in? Oh, you're calling in, number one. At the lowest rated. They love us. The one thing I kept hearing, Michael, was it should be longer.
Why?
All is okay if it ends well, and it looks like it has.
Oh. People are clamoring for more of us.
Clamoring.
Clamoring. K-L.
The clamoring.
U-H-M. Clamoring. I can't do it. It's great. I love how, you know, depending on your take on the guys.
Yes.
You know, there's two trains of thought here. What, you know, there's the Neil Best train of thought. They're fantastic. It's the one most wonderful thing. The radio. Oh, off your knees, Neil. Stand up like a man. Then there's the other take on it, which is the exact opposite. It's really, it's fat, and it's got nothing to do with me.
It's a love hate thing. It's kind of a love hate thing, or what?
There's one aspect of, embarrassing, disgraceful numbers. How could you ever put that on TV? And the other side is, they're wonderful. We want it longer. So I guess it just depends on your take. But people here are like guffawing over it. Crazy.
Yeah, you don't like
that. They haven't been here in 10 years together.
Right.
Well, eight, right?
Well, they do a lot of reunion shows, though.
Yes, it's almost they never left, right? Yeah. Jerry, did you watch it?
I did, actually.
You did?
I did.
Did you comment on it on social media?
No.
Smart.
I did not. It was nothing to... whatever. I was disappointed in it. I didn't feel like I learned anything.
I feel bad that because of our connection with Eddie, that Eddie was blackballed from it. I feel bad for Eddie.
Why was Eddie blackballed? I mean, a lot of people weren't in it.
Because Eddie's one of...
Well, John Minko wasn't in it.
Well...
He was in it. Minko was in it.
He spoke in it?
He did, yeah.
Is that true?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
And then, I feel bad for you, Eddie, and I don't know if you're bothered by it or not. My guess is at the end of the day, you don't give a crap.
That would be correct.
But still, it wasn't like you got edited out. You just weren't included.
weren't included. Eddie, let me just be the bearer of bad news. You were not included.
Well, there were a lot of people that weren't included.
I will watch it probably today, but... Like, Damon Amendola is on it.
Well, you didn't see it at all.
I have not seen it
when
yet.
You
I've
watch
seen a
it today,
clips of it.
Okay, when you watch it today, explain to me why, and no disrespect to the man, there was some writer
who commented in the first 15 minutes nonstop about it.
Not seeing it, I guarantee you, whoever that writer was, he was probably very positive and
it wasn't bad. I didn't know, as someone who's been here for 20 years, I didn't know who that was.
Eddie's been here for 30
years. Is the guy still riding?
I'm not sure.
Was it Richard Deitch?
No, it wasn't. I know.
Or Pablo Sandomir?
No, it was not.
Or was it Richard Sandomir?
Richard Sandomir.
Pablo Sandomir.
It was not.
Pablo Sandomir.
It was not.
They get Pablo Sandoval.
I don't know who I'm. Yeah, he got let go by the Giants.
By the way,
Pablo Sandoval, little teddy bear, let go.
Just for the record.
Does that make any sense, Pablo?
I booked Bill Clinton when he was the president on that show. How am I not
You worked on that show?
I'm just saying. Yeah. 7 months.
Doing what?
I was the board op and fill-in producer, and I booked President Bill Clinton.
You probably didn't book him.
Listen,
that was
who
like
got the producer's credit?
You had to actually make phone rang, you answered
phone
it.
Call came in, I booked the president.
But how many of you guys produced for that show?
Yeah,
it seems
they didn't talk to They didn't talk to Jerry, Stevie Cohen.
You
they
didn't talk to Steve.
They didn't talk to Eddie Erickson. They didn't talk to Mark Malusis.
You might not be able to find Eddie. I don't know where he works now.
He's over at Sirius.
Is he at Sirius?
Yep.
Really? And they didn't talk to him either?
No.
Well, maybe.
Did they talk to Bob Gelb?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How long was Gelb the producer?
10 years.
So he was a 10-year guy.
Yeah, Stevie was right there with him.
He was, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we had Stevie on our show.
And Stevie,
Stevie
ended up hiring, Dog away from
this
place.
Well, that was more Mel Karmazin did that.
Oh, okay. But Stevie was
involved
in that.
That was to just twist the knife into the fans' back, which he thought they were going to do. And then, you know, Dog disappeared, and we still are, you know, killing it. Well, not all of us, but
God, you're relentless.
Some of us.
You're just relentless.
Some I'm sorry, I don't listen to Sirius.
Oh, boy.
Jerry's here. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. We're brought to you by Iron Maiden, Saturday, July 22nd at Barclays Center. Buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Sunday Night Baseball up in Boston. Red Sox beat the Yankees as they earned a split of the weekend series and of the day-night doubleheader as well. 3-0 was the final in that second game. Mookie Betts a home run. Dustin Pedroia an RBI single. Here was Joe Girardi. Tips his cap to David Price, who went 8 innings, 8 strikeouts.
He pitched a really good game.
He did. Rough weekend for Aaron Judge. Had a home run take away from him in the nightcap. Had, I think it was just one hit in the four games. He says it's baseball.
Went through a tough time for the first time this year. I mean, it's kind of what, you know, it's going to happen at some point. You're going to have a tough 3 or 4 days, 5 days.
And so the Yankees lose last night after winning 3-0 as C.C. Sabathia went six innings for his 8th win of the year.
Well, Price was now, great last night.
He was. And it's interesting because I don't ever remember David Price pitching well against the Yankees since he came to Boston, but he did last night. Now, I bring you back to Saturday just because I was in the car and I found this amusing.
Yeah.
Just listen to John. So it's a 1-1 game. I'm pretty sure this is the 13th inning, but regardless, it's extra innings, and it's been a long afternoon already. And Matt Holliday ties the game, as we know, in the 9th, leadoff home run. So here we are in extra innings, and there's a chance for the Yankees to go ahead with Holliday at the plate again. And listen to John at the end.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on. There it goes to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is caught at the wall.
Oh. He's like, I want to go home.
I have dinner reservations. Oh. So, anyway, the game went on.
The Yankees were joking that the worst guy to pitch the last game of a series when you have other places to go
is Montgomery?
Is David Price.
Oh, David Price.
It's like, that's going to take. Like, they're already bemoaning the fact that the night game was going to take forever.
Slow.
Well, they can thank ESPN for that.
Yes, can't they?
Yes, they can.
But you know what?
Last night's game didn't come in too bad, right at 3 hours, so it wasn't awful.
Yeah, just ruined baseball for the little kids.
Oh, Billy!
It's the summer, Boomer. Yankees will be in Minnesota tonight. You got the Mets playing the Cardinals on Sunday. The Mets wound up losing to the Rockies, could not get the sweep. It was all bad for Steven Matz. He had nothing yesterday. Gave up.
I think he set a record. I think giving up 9 hits in one inning is a record.
And the first 4 in the second inning as well, as they were down 7-0 in a blink. Terry Collins says Matz had to change up because he struggled with certain pitches.
You know, I thought he's got to use his secondary pitches today, you know, especially the days when your command, your fastball is not really good.
And it wasn't, and I guess he's talking about the off-speed stuff. Here's Matz moving on quickly.
It's frustrating, but I got to flush it. You know, I got another start coming up in 5 days.
And I hope it's a lot better than it was yesterday. Then you had the Astrubel Cabrera.
Here, one inning, 9 hits, 7 runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts.
Right, but remember, 4 of those hits were in the second. The whole thing was just awful.
Nine.
I know. It was terrible. You can't. It's just awful. Then you had the Astrubal Cabrera Ahmed Rosario whole situation. Oh. So you have this theory, report, whatever you want to call it, that they're not bringing up Rosario because of what it could do in the locker room. You got Cabrera's playing second base. A couple weeks ago, he wasn't happy about it. He's been doing fine, though. He says no issue with Rosario or the position right now.
I got nothing to be about. I mean, that's not my choice.
Is there still continued disappointment from you about being moved from shortstop?
No, I mean, I'm just play second right now. That's my position.
And then the reporter
continued. Now, the Mets, as Boomer said, I'm sorry, you'll get to that in a second, a few hours ago, are disputing the story that Cabrera's unhappiness is preventing Rosario from being called up. So they're saying that's nonsensical, but why aren't you bringing him up?
Well, here was the reporter continuing with Cabrera trying to get something out of him.
You're okay with being at second?
I'm fine. I'm playing for second base. That's my position. What do you want to know?
No, I was just curious just to hear.
That happened a couple of weeks ago.
Initially, Astrubal Cabrera said, I want to be traded.
And yes,
then
he did.
A couple days later, he calmed down and said, no, I want to stay here.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know what the whole He's a veteran player. He's most likely going to get traded. I don't know whether or not anybody's looking for a second baseman or shortstop. You'd have to go through all of that stuff. But I would think he would be a quality trade bait.
Cabrera said, that was a few weeks ago, I'm okay now playing second. I played it in Cleveland. I played it in Washington. I feel comfortable there. I'm playing second base.
And he's been good since that
happened. And by the way, I understand the professional pride of him being like, you know what? I'm your shortstop. What do you mean I'm playing second?
You were banged up all year. You had trouble defensively all year at shortstop. Now they move you to second baseman, a little bit easier of a position to play. And you know what? He's done well.
And by the way,
if you're being moved to second for Rosario, you're not going to complain about it. But they got moved to second and Rosario's still not here.
And we killed the Mets for a lot. You know, since they moved him to second, Reyes is hitting. He's playing well. And it's actually not that they're a great team,
whatever.
But it's worked all right.
Team sucks.
Whatever. Fantastic.
They all suck.
All right. Everybody suck. Mike Fisher of The Fan in Dallas reporting that Ezekiel Elliott involved in a late-night altercation at a Dallas bar. It is going swimmingly for this guy. This is as you got the reports of him possibly going to be suspended. I don't know if he will or he won't, but it looks like he might be. Will he appeal it and all that? So last couple of days, not good for him, as you know. And then just lastly, as you guys...
Hold on, let me give you the story.
Sure.
What's today's date?
Today's 17th.
Of August?
July.
Still we're in July?
We are still in July.
He was in a physical altercation with a bouncer at a place called Clutch Bar. Go ahead.
I believe that's also the place he left when he got into the car accident. Remember that? A few months ago, he got into the accident.
This guy is a piece of work, man.
Full report coming momentarily, but it was last Sunday night into Monday. So this within the last few hours, this allegedly happened. An altercation with a bouncer at Clutch Bar. Boy, he's something special, isn't he?
Not going well right now.
Just throwing your season right down the tubes.
Yeah, good. You never know. And as you guys have discussed many times this morning, the passing of the great Bob Wolfe, he was 96 years old, so many accomplishments. The one thing I did not realize in the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Broadcasters Wing, and in the National Sportscasters Sports Writers Hall of Fame as well. So Bob Wolfe passed away at the age of 96.
I just wanted to add one thing to that as well. You know, Bob Wolfe hasn't called a game in 30 years, whatever it is, right?
Okay.
So the fact that his passing is a news story, and it is a legitimate news story, shows you the connection he had with the audience, the connection he had specifically to a New York audience, having done Knicks and Rangers for so long. You know, I was too young to have ever remember hearing him do a game. You probably have some memories of him doing games in the late 60s and early 70s. He didn't work at the Garden, I think, since about 1980 on, and even Madison Square Garden put him however they honor broadcasters, right. He's one of their Hall of Famers. And he's just one of those guys where, you know, you all know his name. Many of you never heard him do a single game. You certainly didn't hear him do a game live. And at 96 years old, you know, he passes away. And for many of you, especially if you're at Long Island, your only connection to Bob Wolfe would have been News 12.
How about the fact that he worked until he was 96 years old?
Which is amazing. So when you start, if you haven't yet, I would just say, take stock of the life that this man led. You know, one of the first headlines I read that came out yesterday was, you know, he interviewed Babe Ruth to Derek Jeter. He ran the gamut between, you know, those two New York Yankees. But he did so much more than that. Not just calling Don Larson's perfect game. I don't think there's another man today that has called, maybe you know, Boom, has called the championship game in every single sport.
He's the only one, the story said.
Like, Al Michaels probably came close.
Did a World Series, did a Super Bowl, right?
I don't
know if did he do basketball?
No, he did the Olympics.
He did the Olympics. You know, I don't know if he was a hockey announcer. I'm trying to think.
So he was the only man that ever did that, right?
Marv Albert.
Al Michaels did a World Series also, doing with Keith Jackson way back in the day. So he came close.
But did Marv Albert do the World Series, though?
I don't know.
He would have. Marv may have it for radio. It's possible. And Boomer, I would just say to you, as I contemplate the career of Bob Wolf.
Yes.
I think it's just something you should consider.
What's that?
Working till he's 96?
Amen.
I agree.
Well, 90.
90, okay.
He played softball for his
You think it's going to be a pain in the ass?
Oh, you're damn straight. The older I get, the more of a pain in the ass I become.
That's what the guys were saying this morning.
Exactly.
So anyway, Bob Wolf passes away. And for those of you that do listen to Rick Wolf here on the radio station, that's his dad. Rick was obviously Bob's son, I should put it that way. And just want to send our thoughts and prayers out to a legitimate broadcasting legend. And he is one and always will be one. So we send our regards out. I called the Knicks yesterday about
it. Yes.
Because I didn't know, had they put out a statement of what they were going to do. And they'd already put a statement out about their connection to Bob. Remember, many of you, Boomer included, beyond the Knicks and Rangers, you know, for 25, 30 years that we would watch a bunch of dogs running around Madison Square
Westminster,
Garden.
Yes.
He was the voice and the face,
no
really.
Kidding.
He did, I think, 30 Westminster kennel shows.
He basically did everything.
Didn't know that.
Now, that's rage
That's a man after my own heart, man.
That's a professional. You want me to talk about dogs running in a circle with their owners running after them? I got that.
That's why you do the kitty bowl.
Right. You want me to do the sugar bowl? I got that.
Got that, too, baby.
That's it.
You need a guy?
I think this is the only thing you can do.
You need a guy? I'll take it.
You are that guy. You're the renaissance guy.
All right, 850 on the fan. We are live from the Investors Bank studios here at WFAN, and here's what's happening.
Pardon me, I apologize. I want to update. Kill the music for 1 second. I apologize. At least one person was punched. An ambulance was called to the Clutch Bar and Restaurant in Dallas. Police officers were on the scene. It's unclear as of this second if any arrests were made. Elliot and the bouncer are said to have a role in the altercation. This comes on the heels, of course, of Ezekiel Elliott preparing to plead his case to the NFL this week regarding the domestic violence case allegations against him. Details are scarce right now. But obviously he was involved in something. They don't know what his role was yet. There you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.